This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday the 13th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today as we talk about the Heartball Association, and they're back. They're having a big event happening in February, February 25th. And joining me to make this happen today, we have Catherine. Catherine's back. Welcome here, Catherine.
Happy New Year.
I see you struggling with the mic.
I mean, you broke it just for me.
Yes.
I'm holding it delicately, but we will figure this out. But it's always good to see you. I'm good. Happy to be here with the guests today. And so Happy New Year to you and your family.
Yes, Happy New Year to you. And it's wonderful to have you back here. And we have so many things to talk about for the new year. So I know you'll be joining me again, perhaps next week, but at least to be hearing you. But today we have Mr. Barnes, who's here from the Sir Victor Sassoon Bahamas Heart Foundation. I was trying to pronounce it right, give the full name. And he's going to be giving us detail about what is happening for this association and the various events. But I want to know the history of it. I'm going to let Catherine lead the interview today, this exchange today, as we do that. But I just wanted to introduce Mr. Barnes formally to that, because Mr. Barnes has a connection to the Sir Victor Sassoon Bahamas Heart Foundation Association and everything. And I want to know that narrative. I want to know that story. And that's why I'm saying, hey, let me go and introduce him formally. And here, firstly, what is the Sir Victor Sassoon Bahamas Heart Foundation? And then we will break it down to the various sub-organizations that the association has. So we'll start with that. Well, welcome again, Mr. Barnes.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
And I'm thrilled to be here for the first show of the year to have this guest. That for years I've been hearing about the wonderful work that this association has done, the thousands of children especially it's helped, the support it's given our medical facilities, our Princess Margaret hospitals, the doctors on our island, the international aid it's given us. So I'm just really honored to have you in studio today and thrilled to talk about the Heart Bowl, which is always a fun social event. And socially, I know we've had to miss out on the last couple, but also it's something that truly has a meaningful impact, and I think has an outstanding reputation of 97 cents to the dollar all going straight to the charity. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And so why are you here? CA said he wanted to talk a little bit about the history. I think this all kicked off in the early 1960s, if I'm correct.
Yes.
And how are you a part of this? How did your journey begin with this association?
Well, I was very fortunate in life. I had two great parents, but my dad had a younger sister who met this English gentleman named Sir Victor Sassoon. They ended up falling in love and getting married. And when he passed away in 1961, she decided that she didn't want... He had so many friends all over the planet, and she was afraid that the church would be full of flowers and she would just hate seeing it all go to waste. So she said, please don't send flowers, send a donation to the local Heart Foundation or Heart Association. And about 2 weeks later, they called up and said, Lady Sassoon, we've got a problem. There's no Heart Association or foundation here in the Bahamas, and we've gotten in a lot of money in honor of your husband. And what are we supposed to do? So she took it upon herself to start the Heart Foundation and named it after her husband, Sir Victor Sassoon. And so from the start then, she had been a nurse herself, and so she started gathering doctors, because at that point back in the early 60s, we still didn't have a real cardiologist here in the Bahamas. Dr. Cecil Bethel specialized in it, but he wasn't a true cardiologist. And so she found some doctors over in South Florida who would come over, and we'd start holding clinics for the children to identify problems. One of our early patients who had heart surgery was Kayla Lockhart Edwards, who went on, you know, the famous Voice of the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she had had trouble breathing to be able to sing, and she had this passion to sing, and it was only after she had the heart surgery was she able to sing. And so, you know, you see something like that come about, and, you know, it affects these children. Not everybody's going to be a great singer or whatever, but...
But everyone is going to be great to themselves and their families. Yes. But I know it's the wrong word, but what a romantic start to what is such a beautiful charitable organization. I know your family has such an intriguing and interesting history. I'd love to hear how they met. But the fact that your aunt was a nurse and that she was cold, and it sounds like the heart, the matters of the heart medically were something personally connected to. Why the heart?
Well, I guess just romance or whatever, you know, but he did die of heart disease. And she had actually met him when she was a nurse. This doctor in New York had said, there's this English gentleman, he's fallen, he needs a personal nurse, can you go do it?
And he can't get up, so he
and
fell for her.
And she told me inside of a week he was asking her to marry him.
I just really enjoy these kinds of stories.
They didn't rush into it.
And but he knew.
They ended up in 1959 getting married and here in Nassau. And so he passed away in August of 61. And that's when this whole thing started happening. And by that fall, she had conjured up a group of local people to be trustees, like Peter Graham, who became our lawyer and so on. And a number of other people who were there at the time. Dr. Andrew Asfakis was one of the early ones. And so by doing that, we started the foundation just in a small way, and from there it took off. Initially, she had some Hollywood friends, and I think Joan Crawford came down one time. They did a movie premiere here. But Joan Crawford actually was the one who said, you're not going to be able to keep doing movie premieres here in Nassau.
What movie was it? I feel my heart fluttering with the true romance. Who needs Netflix when we have something that has actually had a legacy of love and impact in our country? Yeah. And we are so fortunate as a nation that your family found themselves here and the desire to nation build and serve.
Yes. Yeah. Well, not a bad place to be doing that.
Well, it's one of those conversations that we will continue to have over the next few months as we go back up to our anniversary of independence. Right. But how we choose to build the nation is something that you've had decades of working on. I mean, this has been something. How many people do we feel has been impacted? And how did you choose? How did you choose your focus, your mission statement? I know that children now are primarily your target, but how did you begin? What was the original mission of this group?
Well, as I say, we brought over doctors from Florida, and I'll get to that, but there's a bit of amazing story in that as well. But they would come see the children, and we'd hold a couple of clinics a year, and they'd come in, they'd bring over an electrocardiogram with them that we had to get through customs and all that. They'd allow us to do that.
Because there was nothing on island at the time. There was none of that medical equipment on island at the time.
Usually they would see around 100 children at every one of these things who had built up through the year of local doctors being concerned that maybe something was going on that they couldn't quite identify. And so eventually that was the progress that we made. And when they identified several children who needed heart surgery, they would get sent to Miami at that stage to have the surgery, over usually at Mercy Hospital there.
So at the time, there was not the infrastructure, there was not the expertise, and there simply wasn't the means to take care of these children. It wasn't just a financial, they can't afford help. There simply wasn't what was needed to be here in order for them to be cared for. Because I know one of the things the Heart Association has done over the decades is support the implementing of infrastructure in our hospitals. And in our ambulances and in our
yes. Well, we donated defibrillators to all the ambulances some years back here in Nassau, so that if they were there, you could do it. We just saw this with this young football player the other day, and that's the other half of the story that I was about to tell you about. One of our early physicians was Dr. James Jude, and he was one of these famous physicians from the 30s and 40s who learned about blue babies and how to do surgeries on children.
Wow.
But more than that, he was the man who developed cardiopulmonary resuscitation. The reason that young man is alive is because of him. And he was our doctor for about 20 years here in the Bahamas.
Nice.
I didn't even know this until he died. He never talked about it.
What an incredible link and legacy.
What he's done saved millions of lives around the world, including this DeMar the other day, And so when you see these kind of things happening, and you realize, I think they shortly after that, they got a defibrillator and put him on that as well. So, I mean, we have these kind of things. And this is a tiny little device that's mm-hmm. battery operated but can zap your heart right mm-hmm. back to life. You know, and we donated one that's a pediatric mm-hmm. Defibrillator that they needed for children. So, you know, it's just part of the process, as I say, in developing all this story. So
I know I should have a better word for that, but that is cool. That's really, it's cool medically.
Cool's okay.
It's a cool story, but all, yeah. I mean, again, it's a beautiful story. And I know you have personal stories that involve yeah. medical heart conditions in your family, but I, having said, worked with the children's homes in the Bahamas for a while, I know young people that were helped through your program and your association. Mm-hmm. There are real living Bahamians today that have been directly impacted. What numbers are we talking about? I think I read somewhere it's in the thousands. Is
yes.
it 4,000?
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's probably close to 5 by now. Initially, as I say, a lot of these were just children being investigated. Mm-hmm. They didn't actually need a procedure or anything. But,
and they were highlighted by their local medical people
And so by having these doctors come over for a number of years, that let us identify it. But now we're fortunate. We have cardiologists here. We have a pediatric cardiologist here. We have the ability to do some of the surgeries here in Nassau. If it's you think of something like a hole in the heart mm-hmm. of a child, an ASD or a VSD, it's called, we can do those type of surgeries here.
Which is incredible growth.
That saves
for
us a lot of money,
country.
And it helps the family because they don't have to travel over to the States and everything. But what our problem is the more serious ones. Mm-hmm. And they're more identified now, but we can correct them.
Because, as you said, you began at the beginning with identifying children, having mm-hmm. them seen with almost medical missions. They would come in and treat children. If they couldn't be seen, they'd be sent to Florida. You have right. good relationships with, I think it was Jackson Memorial and
yes.
other mm-hmm. hospitals throughout mm-hmm. southern Florida that would
right.
help with the children. And that you have good relationships with these hospitals.
Yeah.
So they know when they're receiving yeah. the Bahamians coming in.
But allow yeah. me to yeah. interject here. Mm-hmm. I know that the Sassoon... Victor, see, I'm trying to make sure
just
I call it.
Just say Sassoon Heart Foundation.
Thanks. The Sassoon Heart Foundation is broken into two groups, yeah. right? I don't want to hear more about the groups. I know there's the Bahamas Heart Association,
yes.
and there's the Heart Ball Committee. And I want to know more about that. Mm-hmm. And I want to typically, what is a typical cost for a heart surgery? Because I know this is a fundraiser,
well,
and I'm trying to find out, like, what type of money mm-hmm. does it take to bring all of this about?
Well, this is the thing. I was talking about an ASD or a VSD just 10 years ago. We actually did one for under $15,000.
$15,000, okay.
And today it's up around 25 or 30 sometimes. It depends mm-hmm. case by case sometimes. It's just where they've got to go and so on. But then there's also things that are more complicated. And these, I can't even pronounce what they are, so please don't ask me. But when we send these children over to Florida, if just a few years ago it was running about $65,000 on average, today it's close to $100,000.
So it upwards to $100,000 per surgery.
And not just
surgery.
Upwards, it is beyond that even, yeah. depending on the case.
And so typically, a Bahamian child presents themselves and say, I need a heart surgery for whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. The foundation, your foundation, mm-hmm. what exactly do they pay for if you find that these people need financial assistance? What mm-hmm. exactly is paid for?
Well, we pay for the surgery.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Bahamian family would just basically pay for
transportation?
So families
would reach out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So to explain, if a family has insurance, mm-hmm. then obviously that saves us. We can put them in touch with the doctors who we use, and that sometimes helps facilitate saving mm-hmm. money for them. But when it comes to the children here whose families aren't fortunate enough mm-hmm. to have insurance, that's where we try to step in and help. And normally that's not been an issue, but the last couple of years, because we weren't able to have a heart ball, our funds
yes.
have dried up,
depleted.
Basically. And right now, in speaking of Dr. Lightborn, who is our pediatric cardiologist here in Nassau and one of our trustees, we have 4 children who are going to need surgery here in the next few months. I don't have enough money to pay for those 4 surgeries right now.
So this is really life-saving stuff. And
yeah.
we've all seen the pictures of the heart ball. It's glamorous. It's beautiful. People go there and look lovely. And, it, yeah. you know, hearts skip a beat when we see the dresses that turn out. You always have great entertainment. I know it's being hosted at Bahamar Convention Center this
correct,
year. It's
correct.
Going to be a lovely night, especially with people who haven't seen each other in the last couple of years
mm-hmm.
enjoying themselves. But as they're doing so, it genuinely is life-saving. saving. It genuinely has, as you say, four children that could be saved by this gift.
Yeah.
So that's extraordinary and fun. How do people get involved? Are we selling tables? Are we selling tickets? What are we looking? What are our goals? How do we get this money in to save these children today?
Well, if you're alone and you want to come, it's $275, and we'll get you at a nice table with some friends you can make. If you have a bunch of friends who you want to bring and buy a table, then we can seat up to 10 at a table pretty comfortably. So just multiply that. And then if you've got a corporate thing, and we've approached a number of local businesses, and bless them, they're very supportive. They take ads in our ball program and so on and get what we call platinum tables, and they get champagne.
I'm sure this is appealing to the corporate world because they, you know, it's effective giving. You know that your money's going to be used well by an organization that has a gold standard of giving, that has a you know, and we have, I think that as a nation, we have a heart that is willing to give, but we like to know it's being done well, that it's being used well, and that it's for a cause that is worthy and noble. And there is none that can beat saving the hearts of children. I have to ask, how were children identified as the target audience? How did you zero in on this need? How did this, who are we trying, who are we trying to reach at the moment?
Well, back in 61, heart surgeries and so on were still a relatively new process. And they were finding out as they went along as to just what they could even do. And so initially we had hoped to be able to assist adults as well and identify, you know, issues and so on. But as costs skyrocketed, there was no way we continued to be able to help adults as well. So we focused on children, realizing that if we got them leading a healthy lifestyle and with a full operational heart, then they could take the ball from there and go forward in life.
Next question. How are children selected?
Well, the doctors, the parents are pretty savvy. They'll recognize that something's wrong with their child. Or even at birth, many of the doctors these days can recognize early problems and start saying, we need to look at this, and they'll order procedures being done to test and see if the heart's operating properly. I was told that one of these patients the other day is a twin, actually. They didn't know it was a twin. Her heartbeat was so faint, they weren't identifying it in the womb.
Wow.
So, you know, you get a young baby like that, and, you know, they didn't even know the child was there. The parents didn't know they were having twins.
Oh my gosh, it's touching when you hear of those sorts of stories. Yeah. I know as a mother, I feel my heart clench when I think about a child in that situation. And, and you know, to be in a position where you're paralyzed and unable to act, and the fact that, again, your organization is saying, well, we offer what is truly a lifeline.
Right.
So I'm listening. I'm assuming that the doctor, the specialist, then contacts your organization?
Yes.
And can you tell me that process?
Usually, as I say, Dr. Lightbourne doesn't see every child, obviously. Mm-hmm. So some doctors will refer the child to him because he's a pediatric cardiologist as a specialist, and then he can start identifying the problem. If he sees this as something that would fit with our organization, then he contacts our offices and say, I'm sending you parents down to talk to you, and we work with them. Find out when the doctor's looking at. We try to get a quote usually, because most of these children are ones who have to go out of the country for the surgery, to get a quote from either Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital in Hollywood, Florida, or the Jackson Memorial Hospital that you mentioned earlier. So both of them work with us, and bless their hearts, I don't know how we'd ever do it if they were charging us full cost. If you walked in off the street, some of these surgeries that I was telling you would cost $100,000. That's what they're charging us. They could charge others $250,000 for the same surgery.
And those relationships are invaluable.
So it's it's we've built this record with them of being what we are, and they know what we're doing is very straightforward, just to help the children. And saying it, that little over, we asked our accountants, bless their heart, they don't charge us either. PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Yes.
And but
they do a lot of charity work.
They do an annual audit with us. And they, when I asked them a few years ago, tell me what percentage of our money that we raise goes to actually pay for the surgeries. And she came back. She said it's about 97.6 or so.
The majority of money raised
of every
paid
dollar,
for surgery.
Almost 98 cents.
Which is, having been involved with the charitable awards for a long time, is an excellent track record. That's excellent.
It's basically fundraising things that we try to do, or even just buying stamps or something like that.
And, I know I was joking earlier. Yeah. I said I have an aunt that makes me do a lot of things, but I know you're initially involved because of your aunt and sustained because of your passion, heart, knowledge, and commitment to this cause. But you have so many other great committee members. Has this been a team that you've slowly built over the years? Who else is involved that we should know about?
Well, our chairman on the Heartball Committee is Marilyn Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a crew that she's helped organize over the years. And I know Lady Sassoon used to be the one who handled it all. But, you know, when she passed, we had to develop a new crew going in. And bless them, none of them jumped ship or anything just because she wasn't there.
The legacy was built
And a lot of them had been working on the committee, and then they brought in new blood. And that's the thing. It does take some time, and it does take a little effort.
But it's also, this is not the point, but it helps. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a really fun night. Is there any entertainment to be looking forward to this year? What's the sales pitch we can give the people who are also looking for a night out after a couple of years?
Aside from great food.
And a room raffle
and silent auctions and so on.
So there are prizes.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And they're usually fantastic prizes too,
mm-hmm. and things like that. So, but there's also the Royal Bahamas Defense Force Band.
Oh, my favorite.
The Ed Rice Orchestra.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Soulful Groovers. Mm-hmm. And if we have a gap where nobody's talking, don't worry. DJ Gary Super Johnson is going to be filling in those spots.
Full program.
And I feel like whoever comes is going to be ready. It's been a few years, so I feel like everyone's going to, you know, really wear out the stilettos. You're going to see some good dancing going on. I feel like the pictures that get posted after this are going to make anyone who wasn't able to attend feel the energy.
The dance floor is pretty much always full.
So is the ball usually well attended?
Yes. Yes. The last few years, we've had over 500 people, I think last time 2 years ago we had 540, I believe, and so I'm hoping we'll be somewhere in that range again this time. And I know everybody's had pinched wallets the last couple of years on things, but I hope they'll think of us, because this is something that you're not only going to have a good time, and it's February, it's Heart Month, so you can, if you forgot to give your wife a good gift.
Well, there's no truer revelation of a society's soul other than the manner in which it treats its children.
Yes.
And it's really fun if you can also put on a beautiful gown and dance to it.
Yeah.
So I think we're always willing to give as a country. But again, this comes with the added bonus to be able to look good, go out, have a hot Valentine's date, because it's all about the heart.
Yeah.
So let's also talk about the Heartball Committee, because I know there's a Heartball and also there's a Tea Party fashion show.
Yes,
and I want to know the difference between that. Go ahead.
We just had that last month, in fact, and so that helped raise some funds. But it's not our big events. It's sort of get people excited about what's to come.
So over the decades I think, again, on a broader picture of the Bahamas, we're talking about nation building. We're talking about the road to our independence anniversary. And you've been involved for how many years have you been involved in this particular project? You've been a part of the Bahamian Charitable Give for how many years?
Mm. Well, my father was Lady Sassoon's older brother.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, he was also the treasurer of the Heart Foundation. And he passed away in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just been down here, and he was trying to say, you know, you're going to have to come down. And
I come from one of the families that passes on guilt.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah.
Judy that becomes joy.
So I came down in 1981, but I didn't take over as chairman until after Lady Sassoon passed in 1997.
And what a rewarding undertaking. Where are we growing from here? Where would you like in the next 10 years to see the Heart Association? Is it you do have an educational component that speaks to people that says, don't eat the Kit Kats that I'm handing out everywhere. That's not product placement. That was an accident. what else are you involved in? How would you like to see the impact in the country continued other than literally saving the hearts of our young people?
Yes. Well, there are, as he's noted, basically two heart organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And one is the Sassoon Heart Foundation that helps children. The other is the Bahamas Heart Association.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something anybody can join. It's for adults, and bring along your children too. about heart education, about how to lead a healthy heart lifestyle.
Don't eat candy for breakfast.
Well, that's a start, yeah. But the Heart Association actually was started by Violet Asfakis.
Oh, yes.
And she was one of our committee members for years. And so she said, we really need something that's educating people about leading a healthy heart lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so she took it on herself and worked with the foundation. And we've partnered together now. We both use the same office. And so we have been able to approach people, and we've helped them with meetings. I think they have monthly meetings all the time that they get together and will show videos about heart health and so on, or, you know, just discuss problems people are having, and they'll have doctors come and speak to people about, you know, how to lead a healthy lifestyle that'll promote heart health. Mm-hmm. But now with children, of course, sometimes you don't know there's a problem when they're born. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the Sassoon Heart Foundation comes in. And we'll help those children hopefully get on the road to a nice long life.
Do you have any special success stories in your heart? Like the children that came through it, came back. Do you have any of those little, the precious ones that, that stick with you?
There's one that will never leave me. Mm-hmm. I'm almost choking up just thinking about him.
I'm definitely going to cry as a mother in the rope.
I was in the office, and Linda LaFleur, who is our treasurer and wonderful person, she has been since my father passed away in 81. And she was in her office outside and talking to this mother who came in with her child who had had heart surgery recently. And I'm looking at this little boy outside of my office window or office door, and he's looking like he's about to get into some kind of mischief out there. And I'm looking at him. He's picking up every little thing and looking at it. And I thought, oh gosh, he's going to start scribbling on the desk in a minute. And he saw me sitting at my desk, and he came in. And bold as brass, he says, hi. And I said, hi, how are you? He said, I'm good. And he pulled up his T-shirt and showed me the little scar on his chest. I just had heart surgery.
Aww.
And his mother heard, and I guess was afraid he might be irritating me or something. She came running in and said, oh, I'm sorry he's bothering you. And I said, no.
Aww.
And I said, not a problem at all. And she said, he used to be so lethargic, he just sat on the couch all day. Mm-hmm. And here was a little boy, being a little boy, full of life, full of curiosity, maybe some mischief in there too. But that little boy, he could barely get his head over the height of my desk. I mean, that's how young. Yeah, I think he was about 4 and a half. You know, and
This is Guardian Hallmark Channel today, everyone. If you're missing your Christmas movies, you could tune in and tear up. I mean, again, I think we're both parents here.
Yeah.
And I think there's nothing that is more touching or inspiring than protecting the health and life of your children. So, I mean, you don't need to go buy a ticket to this ball. have you ever, I mean, I know my parents, my children, that I've had two children that have been blessed with good health, but I've, again, been involved with Rand Flea Homes for Children for years, and we've had children that have faced these heart issues, and I can just imagine the terror and concern of a parent who doesn't have access to somebody or something, that literally their children are facing life-threatening situations, and they don't have the lifeline there. So you provide that. And I don't know, I hope that it's known, and I hope that it's supported for what it is. Because a lot of times these events can seem out of reach or that we don't understand the impact that they have. So we're understanding now that, as you said, there's four children awaiting heart surgery. Mm. There are four lives on the line that could be saved by this give. And so that's magnificent.
Okay, so let's go over when is the ball happening? When is that happening?
It's February 25th, and if people want tickets, they can contact our offices. We're on Cable Beach. It's still located where Lady Sassoon's old house was, but we have an office right along the road there. We're right up to the Swiss pastry shop, and everybody knows where that is, so they can find us right across the road.
I have to say, I'm a bit of a history nerd. And you did, I mean, I know there's a glamorous history to the entire family. But when you're talking about just the history of this association, and you said Joan Crawford and movie premieres, can you tell us a little bit about the glamorous side of charity work? I mean, we know there's grit. We know there's no glory. We know we're doing this to save lives. But what was the movie premiere? How did that go?
I wasn't there, unfortunately. Yeah. I was one. She also had a house in Dallas.
Yes.
And I originally was from Texas, and I was a teenager at the time. And she had there were two versions of the movie Casino Royale.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the first one was sort of a farce comedy version of James Bond. I don't I don't recommend the movie necessarily.
Like a spoof almost,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I'll take the Dino Craig version any day. But she had had a property in Ireland,
yes,
that they used in the movie. And so she said, you're going to give me a movie premiere. I don't want any money for using this, but you're going to premiere the movie in Dallas. So they did that and threw an event around it, and the money went to the Heart Foundation.
Nice. How exciting.
So, yeah.
That's thrilling, because charity work is not glamorous. And I think that you'll notice over the decades, it's changed. A lot of times it was, people will say that, you know, women who aren't necessarily working in offices or people with leisure time would run the charities. Now, that was work, but it still was something that was seen as an extra activity. Now it's run by people with full-time jobs that have so much going on, and they're still trying to do these things and pull it off. But it's, the charitable organizations are not a leisure activity for the entitled. They're necessary. And without them, the things like these four surgeries that we're focusing on, because there are four little hearts beating that need our support, these four surgeries would not happen without this. They could potentially lead to a loss of life, right?
Yes.
Or a loss of lifestyle, as you talked about the little boy that went from lethargy to life. I mean, yeah. What is more of a beautiful image than that? You know, that's a type of a resurrection within a young soul. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we fortunately have had good relationships with people like the Rotary Club here. They offer
Rotary Club does magnificent work. I got to give them a shout out. They always support us.
They invited me to speak, and they always have a nice little presentation for us to help us along.
And hopefully feed you.
And also the Antique Car Club. They've been very supportive of us through the years.
Interesting.
And they have sort of sponsored a couple of children along the way. And one of the little boys, I remember him coming in, and he just clung to his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, he was about two and a half,
children cling
I think.
To their mothers, what? I can barely get them in the car to go to school today.
Yeah, and was barely, you know, very quiet, very shy and everything. And about a few months later, she came back in after the surgery. And she was in, once again, talking with the treasurer, and I was looking at him. And you'd have thought he'd had about five cups of coffee that morning. Mm-hmm. He was buzzing around the office, just, look at this. You know. And it was just a totally different child, you know, and that's the thing. It's like what this is robbing your children of when they don't have a heart that's doing it. It's not pumping the blood to the brain. The brain isn't getting the oxygen it needs to work properly. This child can now go to school, will learn, be able to play sports and so on, and be just a normal child.
Be able to nag their mother, but it's beautiful, and we need to be grateful for these moments. I know, again, we've talked, and you said there's so many there's such a support system that pulls off this bowl, that makes this organization run, that year after year, just even from like the decoration to the ticket selling to the selling of the ads or getting the prizes, you have a huge team, and I thank you as a Bahamian, as a mom, for all the work that all of you associated with this association do. So
something else I thought about listening, right? You mentioned that 97% of the funds that is raised goes back into the surgery.
Yeah.
But you seem to have a huge team. It seems that you're active in so many things. Like it's a big project. How are you able to have all of 97% go toward the surgery?
Well, mainly bless Lady Sassoon again. She had an office staff that did look after her businesses and so on, and she basically donated that. And, you know, even though she's passed on, you know, we've been able to carry on the office, and our office there on Bay Street, on West Bay Street, is basically there to look after that now for all intents and purposes. And so, you know, all you got to do is call the office if you want a ticket. We're in the phone book, of course.
And I have to ask, because I'm just fascinated and intrigued. But, I mean, this Lady Sassoon must have been a magnificent woman. And your family, again, must have had an a nation-building heart that led to this. What can you tell us a little more about her? I would love to know, just as a human being, how she was. Like, what created this heart in her? Was it her medical field? What led her to be a nurse as a young woman?
Yeah. Well, actually, her mother had rheumatism very bad, was bedridden, and she looked after her until she passed away. I think she was about 18 or 19 when that occurred, and she decided to go off to nursing school.
Because back then also, or in the nursing or education were what was available to women as a whole. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess it would have been like late 1930s or so, she went off and did that.
My goodness.
And was during the war and so on, she was looking after a lot of servicemen who would come back and so on like that. She wasn't out in the field.
State.
Yeah. So she did that sort of thing. And as I say, along
so
the way.
So she saw significant trauma.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And so, in fact, you know, when she met Sir Victor Sassoon, mm-hmm. you know, she was getting over her fiancé.
Oh, my goodness.
Was a serviceman who was...
See, I told you this was an exciting story.
Who was ferrying back aircraft after the war, and his plane crashed somewhere. They never found him. And so she was still
the
trying
real
to recover from that
mm.
when she met her future husband.
Who decided after a few days that she was the one.
Yeah.
And she
and he'd
had,
been a lifelong bachelor.
A,
you know,
a woman of grit and grace to carry it on. My goodness. That's and yeah. he was well traveled and prestigious yeah. in his business life.
Yeah.
So my goodness, what a match.
Yeah.
Okay. So right now we're actually going to take a break. We're going to take a short break. We're enjoying this conversation, actually. This is Guardian Radio Live, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And of course, we have Catherine who's hosting the show today. And we have Mr. Barnes, who is the chairman of the, what should I call that big name again?
Sassoon Heart Foundation.
I appreciate you shortening the name for me, you know, because I've been struggling with that all day. And he's basically educating us about the various aspects of it. The Bahamas Heart Association, then the Heart Ball Committee. And then, of course, he broke down the Heart Ball Committee and mentioned the Heart Ball itself and of course the Tea Party Fashion Show and explain where all the money goes and how we are there. The event now is for 4 children who are pending the surgery now. So we're excited about this and we're happy to have this exchange just to get more information on that. But we'll be right back. We'll be right back in a brief moment right now and Guardian Radio AM.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the test. Always, you're always covered me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri and, of course, Catherine.
Good morning.
Mitchell is here with me, and she's co-hosting with me today. And we're talking to Mr. Barnes, who's the chairman of the... Go ahead.
Sassoon Heart Foundation.
Thank you very much again. And we're just getting details about how the organization in general and the important role that they're doing for Bahamian children. And we, as we were on the break, I was asking Mr. Barnes what they were doing when COVID hit in terms of the operation. And also, I wanted to get information about the operation in terms of he's a chairman, what happens inside the office, mm-hmm. right? Different aspect. And then I just heard, and I guess Catherine's going more detail about that, there's an American branch. I want to know about that too. So yes. I'm briefly give us a rundown on that, so then mm-hmm. Catherine will continue the interview.
Well, through the years, I mean, obviously the Bahamas is an attractive place for Americans to come visit. And we've made good friends with a number of Americans, and they can get tax deductions if they donate to what's called a 501c3 charity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it allows them to make a nice donation to the Heart Foundation. And as it's in U.S. dollars, it also helps us pay for the surgeries in the States. And so we developed that some years back. In the old days, we ran it through the University of Miami, which is where Jackson Memorial is and so on. But once that sort of evolved, we had to create our own system. So For about 10 years now, we've had the Sassoon Heart Foundation, Inc. For Americans who want to make a tax-deductible donation, we can do that, and then they can write it off on their taxes. So,
which is great. And a lot of our charities locally take advantage of that because, again, we have international give, but it benefits everybody. So if you're an American and listen, you can give and have it as a tax deductible. And there's a few organizations that do that. Ranfully is too. But again, we're talking about the Heart Ball event, which is prestigious, which is pretty. Oh, which always has the best dress. I mean, the red carpet pictures from this event always stop my heart. And it's happening on February 25th, 2023 at Baja Mar in their beautiful new convention center. There's going to be entertainment. The dance floor is always full, we've said. I think tickets are $275, but you can have your, go ahead and get your boss or your corporate sponsor to get you a ticket and get on in there for a Valentine's Day date or wrap up. There's going to be a silent auction and room raffle, and you can call 3270-806. But I think we also wanted just to talk a little bit more about, like, what happens in the office? Like, what do you do? Like,
I wanted that, but before that, is this the first time you had the ball at the Bahama? Or
No. We've been there several years.
Okay,
now.
Good. Now go back.
So I just want everyone to keep in mind that everything we're talking about in mending these little hearts and saving these lives in the upcoming year can be benefited by buying a ticket and attending the beautiful, the extraordinary, the dazzling, the sexy Heart Ball, which again is 97 cents of your dollar is going straight to repairing these young hearts, which is an extraordinary track record. In the charity world, that's exceptional to have that kind of a give coming out of your spend. And so what are we doing in the offices here? As a chairperson, I think that's what CA was asking during the break. How does it work? Yeah.
Well, bless her heart, I mentioned Linda LaFleur, our treasurer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She is technically retired, but I can't get her to stop coming in because she believes
you can't retire a heart.
Absolutely not. I don't know what to say. In fact, in the absence of the ball, and that's one thing I do want to mention, is every year we give the Lady Sassoon Golden Heart Award, commonly known as the Golden Heart Award. Try to find somebody in our community who gives them themselves selflessly to help in whatever field.
Can you tell us some of the past recipients recently?
Well, that was what I was going to say. In the absence of having the ball, we decided there was one person who's done more than anybody else, and that was Linda LaFleur.
Oh, my goodness.
So she's going to hate me for doing this.
Thank you very much, Ms. LaFleur. I appreciate your
effort. Bless the treasurers, no charitable organization can run without one. We have Gowan Bo, and we love him.
No, she is doing that free of charge, and she takes no salary for what she's done just because she has seen these children. She interviews the children before they go over to the States.
My goodness.
She's helped every one of these parents, you know, go through the process. And I'm sure you can imagine how nerve-wracking it is.
Yes.
Your child's got to go over. I've got to go over. Does she have a visa? Does the child have a visa
yet?
You know, all this kind of stuff. And she helps organize that and gets it working that, you know, all
a
these
true
people.
Angel.
But, but no, I mean, we've had, I can't remember what the number is now, but close to 50 Golden Heart winners. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, they're people in our community, often you wouldn't have heard of them. You know, just people who were, you know, selling raffle tickets or doing whatever they could all the time. Just that having a golden heart to go out and do things because the community needed it.
And the quiet workers, the quiet heroes, I think, often do go unsung. Mm. So the fact that you take time to recognize that, I think it's beautiful.
So we are looking for nominations. If you know somebody like that and you want to nominate them this year, just try to collect some information on why you're nominating them. Give it to us in the office. And as I say, we're at 424 West Bay Street, right opposite the Swiss Pastry Shop.
And is that where people can go for tickets?
That's where people can go for tickets as well. Everything is right there.
Are we online? Do we do any social media?
We have a website, SassoonHeartFoundation.org, but we haven't figured out all the rigmarole of how to do it.
But if you go there, you should find a contact number if you don't remember the 3270806. But that is where you can go to organize your tickets and organize your corporate tables. Get your businesses, get your bosses to buy these tables and go as a company bonding trip. And again, you can show up as a single. Maybe it's a heart match thing. Maybe you should have a singles ready to mingle table.
I know you also mentioned the Rotary and the
Antique Car Club.
Yes, Car Club as being sponsors and persons who you work with. Are there any other persons who partner with you to say, well, hey, I'm on board, I'm working with you?
Well, I mean, just through the years, we've received donations, and some want to be private, you know. So, I mean, I would respect that. But, you know, I mean, as I say, like the Antique Car Club, they so fell in love with these kids. They were buying them presents and everything. It wasn't just about the money that they raised. They were backing it up by going and seeing them after the surgery and saying, you okay? Here's, you know, we bought you a toy truck or something.
I just have to say, as a Bahamian and you as an honorary Bahamian, that is one thing I love about our country. With everything else we can criticize on a daily basis on these airwaves, that we do have a charitable heart. Very often when we reach out for a need, especially for the children's communities, and say, no, please help us, there is a need here. Even recently, like the Christmas presents for Ranfurly. Once the request was there, there was a rise of give there, especially when it is to a trusted organization. So thank you for doing the work of becoming that, for developing the relationships globally, because I know you work with American doctors, but I think you've had European, UK people come down over the years.
We've sent some children over to England even for backup surgery,
Those protocols take work, and having the community trust that where they're going, how they're doing, and how they're celebrating life is truly impacting life in a great way. I mean, it takes years of effort.
What about donations? What if I don't necessarily want to go to the ball, but I say, man, this is a good charity. This is a good organization. I want to give some money towards it. Is that possible?
The same thing. You can just come by and drop off cash and so on, and just let us know who you are or something. I mean, we don't have a slot to just slide something through, but I wish we did. But I've often thought, you know, we're several hundred thousand people here. If every Bahamian gave $1, that would help pay for probably 3 or 4 surgeries.
My goodness.
You know.
And you said you just used the word wish. Do you have a wish for the Heart Foundation? The next few years, what would your wish be? What would you wish for it?
These last 2 years have been very tough. Mm-hmm. For the first time ever, we had to say no to children.
Oh.
We didn't have the funds to pay for it, and it hurt. Boy, it hurt. I can't tell you, you know, because, I mean, you're so used to. Somehow you felt like manna from heaven would land on you just when you needed money, you know. And I swear that's happened more times than you can believe, that you suddenly somebody would come in with a big donation and you were like, okay, we can send him now, you know. But the reality is it's just a matter of it doesn't matter how big the donation.
Yeah.
If it's $5, $10, you know, it doesn't matter. It all adds up at the end of the day. And, you know, it's just one of those things that you can do, you know, that's easy to do. You know, I mean, as I say, call our offices. I promise you, you'll have a great time at the ball. But if you don't want to do that,
it's going to be a beautiful night out. Yeah. But again, how beautiful to say yes to all of the requests that come in. And that's what you're trying to make happen here. Mm-hmm. So great food and dancing. The Royal Bahamas Defense Band, which is my absolute favorite. The Ed Bryce Orchestra and fabulous soulful groovers. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be a really beautiful night. And you know everyone's going to be dressed beautifully. You're going to see people you haven't seen in years. The fact that there's so much true heart behind the Heart Bowl is what moves me. But I feel like everyone's going to be moving to the music. It's going to be an excellent event. We encourage personal and corporate sponsorship. And I'm honored to have you here representing what is such a meaningful cause. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I see we have 2 minutes left. And I want to know about this silent auction. I want to know about the silent auction.
They haven't disclosed to me what the gifts are yet, but we get very nice gifts every year from folks. And you know, I mean, they range quite a bit. I know one year we had Michael Jordan's signed basketball.
What?
Just, you know, all sorts
of going?
different things, you know? And so, you know, there are all sorts of different potential things that are there that, you know, will attract the women, some will attract the men.
The balls, well, once you're there, you might as well just leave your wallet because you're going to, I mean, there's always an opportunity to have fun, to spend. Yeah. There's always a give opportunity there. But again, what a great way to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So I just we're going to wrap up right now because we, concluding with the interview, but I enjoyed it. Thanks very much, Catherine. I mean, I need to have you do the lead all the time.
My heart puns are bad right now, but I'm just moved to hear about this, and I hope that whatever comes out of this, the 4 surgeries you mentioned, get their need met. I think there's no human in the country that would disagree that that's worthy, and that I hope our hearts are moved to support in whatever way we are able.
And this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri and, of course, Catherine Mitchell.
My Have pleasure. Thank you. Great start to the year.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.